You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Talking Cop. It's Wednesday, the 6th of March. It's 10 p.m., and we are looking forward to Liverpool against Sparta Prague tomorrow in the Europa League. Early kickoff, 5:45, if you're in Ireland or the UK. Different times around the world, but 5:45. Greenwich Mean Time, is that still a thing, Kev? I don't know.
I think it is a thing, yeah. Until summertime.
PST is British Standard Time, is it? I don't know. There's loads of letters coming out. No. Anyway, 5:45.
5:45.
5:45 tomorrow.
Tea time.
And Glenn Parsons says, 5:45 kickoff tomorrow in case someone forgot. Well, we didn't, because Kev checked it a second ago and went, oh, 5:45 kickoff. So we're post-match reaction. Well, I don't know, we might do it straight after the game, or we might leave it till 10 p.m. Because most people are used to a 10 p.m. thing, so we'll see. I think we might leave it till 10, because that gives Matt a chance, because Matt is 5 hours behind. But we'll talk to Matt and we'll see how it goes. Kev, look, well, Liverpool are over the Forest thing at the weekend, winning that game. The rest of the world don't seem to be. But, you know, it's another, well, four games in 10 days.
10 days, yeah.
Yeah, 4 games in 10 days.
Thursday, Sunday.
Yeah, so 10, yeah. And, you know, a big break between Forest and this would have been five days or so. And, you know, another kind of block of games where Liverpool are going to have to plan this and walk players and walk some more than others and stuff like that. But before, I'll read you out the squad that'll travel in a minute, but the big thing to come out of it, I suppose, is Mo Salah is back in the squad. He's announced in the travelling party, and there's a few people in there said, can we just spend the whole hour talking about Mo Salah being back? No, is the answer to that.
No.
but it is big, Kev. Like,
it is.
Like,
I'm not double-edged sword for me.
Well, I'm not even thinking in terms of this game. I'm thinking in terms of the weekend is coming. And as far as we're concerned, Mo Salah is good to go on Sunday. Or in City's mind, fuck, Mo Salah is back. He's made it back for this game. But it is huge, Kev, because like we're looking at these four games as international break. Now, I've heard things about, you know, oh, if Mo Salah appears for Liverpool before the fucking whatever happens, he's going to be traveling to New Zealand or something to play for Egypt. But forget all that for a minute, Kev. It's another player back. We've seen Szoboszlai, we've seen Nunes. Endo was back on the bench after missing one game, but we're starting to see them come back now. There's probably another one at the weekend that was back, can't remember. But Mo Salah is another body back, and now we're looking towards Jones and Trent and stuff like that. It is huge,
massive. No doubt in my mind, we need him. I think you could tell in the Forest game, Kodogapo is running on fumes. he hasn't played that volume of football back to back in a long time, I'd say. And it was showing. Harvey is not used to playing that position either. And having Mo back as an option, just even as an option and or as a threat, is massive in itself. But I'd love him to get minutes tomorrow. Doesn't have to be loads. I'd hate to see him back and someone picks up a knock and he has to come back, come on at 20 minutes too early, yeah, with 70 to go. Yeah. Ideally, you want him coming on 20 minutes to go. Just get some minutes in his legs because you don't want to go into that Man City game with everything that's on it and all the hype and build-up that's going to be around it from here on out cold. You know, I mean, truth is, he's probably been training on grass since Monday. I mean, he's naturally super fit anyway, so I'm not worried about his fitness. But he'll want to test his body. It's all well and good doing it in a gym and doing it in a training session and box games and what have you. He'll want to test himself. See if he can trust himself when he goes to launch on a sprint. And, you know, in a meaningful game. And this lot tomorrow night will be physical. They throw it about. They get players sent off on a regular basis. And they'll give him a rattle when he comes on. Doesn't matter when it is. Someone will give him a good kick. And that'll probably be good for him. You'll need to come through that. And could be right then for Sunday. I don't think he starts Sunday. Or if he does start Sunday, I don't think he finishes Sunday.
But yeah, I don't,
at the end of the day,
yeah,
this block of four fixtures,
we have to move them around. The Egypt game, Steve Crowley says, sorry, the Egypt game is in the Middle East. I read earlier they were going to New Zealand to play a game. I was like, what the fuck's going on? But if it's in the Middle East, fair enough. But again, you know, the talk was apparently out of the Egyptian FA was if Mo Salah appears for Liverpool before the 17th of March, he'll be asked to go on international duty for these, I presume they're friendlies. I presume they're friendlies. Now, having said that, Mo Salah, you don't know, he could be just turning around going, listen, I'm only back, I'm not travelling all that way for a friendly game, simple as that.
But he wouldn't be the only one I hope that happens with.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. You know, Gareth Southgate will pick all of our players, even if they're not English. He'll have to come play for England. But would you believe I've watched Sparta Prague this season? I was in a bar in Barcelona.
You're a best boy.
Well, I was in a bar in Barcelona and happened to be on against Galatasaray. And they're a physical side. I watched the whole game. They're a physical side. They're not bad going forward, but you can definitely get at them at the back. Now, I'm looking at the league table there. At the top of the Czech league by 4 points from Slavia Prague. They've won 19 of their 23 games. They've scored 55 goals and conceded 15 in that league. Yeah. But look, that league is nothing compared to what they're going to go up against Liverpool. And you know what? I thought Galatasaray were quite poor. They managed to get through against Galatasaray. But I was looking at that. When I was watching that game, I was expecting Galatasaray to win. And I was like, geez, Galatasaray are very poor here. Not great going forward.
When you look at some of the names on the pitch as well that night, you know, it's like, just quickly bring up the lineups here for a sec. The Galatasaray lineup has a fair few household names in it.
Yeah.
Mauro Icardi, Dries Mertens, Yilmaz, Duran Bay, Torreira, you know, players that we know, Muslera and goal.
Yeah.
You know, they were not as if they're just a Mickey Mouse side. Like.
Yeah, they were poor at heart. When I watched, and I don't know why I remember that game because it was a really good game. I think it might have finished 3-2 or 3-3.
It was 4-1 on the night. The first leg, Galatasaray won 3-2.
That's the one I watched.
It was the return leg. Sparta won it 4-1.
Yeah.
Went through 6-4 on aggregate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a late winner for Sparta. I think they scored in the 96th minute. They scored in the 80th minute. And then they scored in the 96th minute. I mean, this is the thing. When you're playing against sides like this, you mentioned it there, they've won 19 out of 23 games in the league. Doesn't really matter what league you're playing in. If you're winning that many games and scoring that many goals, you're confident. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The way they line up will be in the Galatasaray game, it's 3-4-1-2. So looking to play on the break, solid at the back, organized. I watched the Klopp press conference and he was talking about he was asked a question. You've come across this manager before. And he was the same guy who was at Michelin a few years ago when we took a few risks, played Was it played Salah when we didn't need to, and he picked up a knock?
No, that was game? Jota.
That was Jota, right. But all Klopp said about the two games against Michelin was, yeah, physical side. You know, put it about, organised. And this Sparta Prague side will be no different. They'll be organised and they'll be confident at home. They'll know if they're to progress in this competition, they have to get a positive result at home. You know, they won't want to have to come to Anfield to chase stuff.
Yeah.
So,
the good thing, and it's come out here, like Tarek says, Prague are a dirty side. They play extremely rough. Kevin Ball, great point. He said, I love that it's early. Get back into England quicker. So, you know, that game's on a 5:45. It's finished by 7:45. They're probably in the airport by 10:30, and they're probably home by a little over 1-2 a.m., which is great. You know what I mean? The home Friday
it's
morning.
It's ideal, yeah.
Yeah, so it's you know, it's okay. It's absolutely okay. Just on the squad, the travelling squad, right? So now the way they put it out was mad. I think they do it in squad number fucking thing, which does me head in. But anyway, Gomez, Endo, Van Dijk, Konate, Diaz, Szoboszlai, Nunez, McAllister, Salah, Adrian, Gakpo, Elliott, Tsimikas, Robertson, Clark, Gordon, McConnell, Kelleher, Kumas, Kwanzaa, Bradley, Musilowski, and Mrozek. Kev, no matter what way you dice that, those big players going to play tomorrow night. And
oh yeah,
you know, you were saying you were on one of your score apps earlier, and you were saying, look, the lineup they have here is all over the league, all over the camp, with regards to what they are. But
yeah,
but in all seriousness, if we go through this in a little bit of detail, right? Kelleher starts and goal. Yeah, it's what we do.
But he's not injured. He didn't pick up an injury yesterday in training.
Jesus Christ. I was getting fucking messages over this last night, yesterday. Does Real Madrid going around Kelleher's after pulling up and training? And I was like, what? Yeah, who said it? Some fella on Twitter. And then someone sent me a message. I'm after getting a WhatsApp over it. And I was like, would you fuck off? And then it was like, tell me who said it. And next of all, Redman TV, fucking, there was loads of fucking big accounts going, oh, these rumours aren't great about Kelleher. And I was like, who said it? Like, who fucking said it? And next thing, it was some young fella with about 100 followers, threw it on the internet. It went around like wildfire, and then he just deleted his account. Like, honest to Jesus Christ.
It's scary. It's scary how insecure and paranoid we are now as fans, because the second there's any whiff of the possibility of bad news, it's around the world in 30 seconds flat.
Yeah.
It's scary. It is scary.
Mm-hmm.
People don't catch on to themselves. I got it from Chris, and I looked at it because Chris said, "Look at this nonsense that's going around now." I looked at his account, and I'm like, "Nah." I looked at his likes, and I'm like, "This is only 3 clicks now." Within 3 clicks, I see this guy hasn't used this account in over 6 weeks.
Yeah.
What the fuck? How has this happened?
Yeah.
Sam
Tandy says most of these rumors have usually been correct this season regarding our injuries, like Alisson. It's so believable.
They haven't though.
But Sam, you're not reading enough rumors. That's the truth. You're not reading enough rumors. Yeah, you need to see more. Some of the stuff you see is absolutely bananas. but look, Kelleher starts. He's fit. He's fine, despite what some young people said on Twitter, and everyone fucking lost their shit over it. He plays right. And then it's about thinking about Man City, thinking about a back four, thinking about midfield, forwards, players coming back, players that are only back, players that have played a lot of games. It's a really, really tricky one.
It is.
I think he plays Tsimikas left back.
Yeah, me too.
Right, and I think that's the safest way to go. Because I think centre-backs, I think you're going to see some sharing going on.
Yeah.
But, and a bit of shifting going on. Right? So, I think Joe Gomez gets the 90. Right? But he starts at right back. Okay? With Kwanzaa and Virgil starting. And second half, he brings on Bradley for Virgil, and he puts Gomez in beside Quante.
I'd go the other
that's
way.
That's only one sub.
Yeah. Right?
That's only one sub. Sorry. He brings on Canate for Virgil, and he'll bring in Bradley, but he'll put Bradley in for Gomez. Gomez will move inside when Bradley comes on, because Bradley will be a change for someone in midfield. Do you get me?
Yeah, I get you, yeah.
Do you get what I'm trying to say? So
I think what you're saying.
I'm trying to work out minutes and subs here.
Yeah, so same.
So Tsimikas, left back.
Tsimikas, definitely.
Gomez, right back.
I'd still start Bradley, but I understand where you're going. And I do the reverse of what you're thinking.
Right, go ahead.
But I'd start Bradley, and I'd be bringing Joe Gomez on. I mean, you've got to understand, Joe Gomez has played an awful lot of minutes as well.
Yeah, but he has played an awful lot of minutes. But you have to remember, when Robertson came back, he was out of the team.
The only reason
he plays, you feel like he's played an awful lot of minutes, is because he comes on after 28 minutes in the League Cup final.
Yeah.
Do you get me?
But the reason...
Does he start against Southampton in the Cup? I'm not sure he does.
I don't think he does. No, he starts in midfield, doesn't he?
Against Southampton.
Did he start in the six?
Maybe he does. Oh, yeah, because then he does it again at the weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I think Bradley's in a good run of form, and right. I'd give Bradley an hour. I think Klopp has been doing that quite a bit, where it looks like Bradley's played an awful lot of minutes, but he hasn't completed the 90 an awful lot. So I quite happily put Bradley in to start and give him the hour. I would start Kwanzaa, and I'd start Virgil. Away from home, I'd start Virgil. Mm-hmm. And I'd just let that play. They've had 5 days off. You don't want players going into the Man City game too cold either.
Yeah, but I want on 60 in this game, I want you to be able to go, right, we're making a few subs here, and what we're going to do is we are going to basically bring on players we want to give some minutes to, take off players that have had loads of minutes and are only back. And that this is where the mix comes from. Now, there's loads of young names.
How are you shaping your midfield? Because I think that's the most important thing.
Right, so midfield for me, I think McConnell starts in midfield in the six.
Okay.
Right, I think he's going to put him in there. I think McConnell starts in there. I think Clark starts in there. And I think McAllister starts in there. We're an eye on Szoboszlai and Endo. Coming on at some stage. It's very, very difficult.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we could be way off here. We could be way off here. But our idea in our head is right. Do you get me?
Yeah.
So I'll tell you what. Yeah, tell you what. Instead of us jumping on each other here, right? Kelleher and Gowell. I want you to tell me what you would do. First 11.
Yeah.
The five subs you're going to make.
Yeah.
Who's coming on and who's the coming off for? What are you looking for?
Okay.
Go on. Right. Go
okay. Kelleher and Gold. Costas, Virgil, Kwanzaa, Bradley.
Okay.
I start Endo in the six, start Szoboszlai in the eight,
yeah,
and I start Bobby Clark.
Sorry, say that again. Endo, Szoboszlai.
Endo, Szoboszlai, and Bobby Clark.
Okay.
Is my midfield three.
Right.
And up front would be the tricky one. Because, like I said, I think Cody's suffered big time, but I just think he's going to have to bite the bullet and play. Cody Gakpo in the nine, Diaz and Elliot. And I would let that front six play for... Well, see how the first half plays out. If there's any changes to be made at halftime... It would be along the lines of Joe Gomez.
So if you have, let's just say you have Endo, Szoboszlai, Bobby Clark,
yeah,
Diaz, Gakpo,
and Harvey Elliott.
So,
yeah.
Now I'm looking at that side. I'm looking going right. I want to protect Endo. I want to protect McAllister. Yeah. I want to protect Diaz.
Well, McAllister isn't starting for me.
Oh, sorry.
I haven't got McCann.
No, what I mean is, sorry, you want to protect Endo. You want to be careful with Szoboszlai. He's only back, but you want to give him enough. You definitely want to protect Luis Diaz for Sunday. You definitely want to protect Elliot, in my opinion. So that's four I want to make changes to. So that would leave one change at the back.
Well, I've no problem with Joe Gomez coming in to replace Endo in the six from 45 to maybe 60, 65 minutes. All right.
And then moving him back to right back.
Then eventually moving him back to right back and bringing McConnell on.
Okay.
All right. I wouldn't mind seeing Szoboszlai playing 45. Then drop Elliot back into his normal number eight role on the right. And at halftime, maybe putting Darwin on, shifting Cody Gakpo out onto the right wing or taking him off. But on 45, if you're going to do that, bring Darwin on, put Gakpo out onto the right, leave Diaz alone until the hour, and then see how the game is going then. I wouldn't be looking to give more than 20 minutes.
Right.
But
yeah, I'm with you. So the way I'm looking at it then is, you've made me think now, I did have Gomez in at right back. But like you're saying, but Gomez played a lot of football. So was Kelleher. So was Endo. Do you know what I mean?
Kelleher I'm not worried about. Keepers don't.
Not Kelleher. Bradley's played a lot of football. So was Endo. Yeah, so was McAllister. Sorry. So I'm thinking that. Sorry, let me read out a couple of teams. So Antio says Kelleher, Bradley, Kwanzaa, Kanate, Robertson, Gomez, Szoboszlai, McConnell, Dan's, Gakpo, Elliot. Dan's won't be there.
Dan's didn't travel,
No, he hasn't traveled. Concussion protocol, apparently, which is interesting. Matt says Kelleher, Tsimikas, Virgil van Dijk, with a change for Kanate at halftime. Kwanzaa, Gomez, Bradley on for Gomez on 60. Clark, McAllister, Endo on for him at 60. And Szoboszlai with Elliot on for him at 60. Gakpo, Darwin, Salah. Oh, hold on. Gakpo, Darwin, and Cade Gordon with Salah and Diaz coming on for Darwin and Cade Gordon on 60. So he's kind of thought this out. It is hard work. Problem and Dilemma says this is hard work. It is. And look, it's all looking forward to, because look, I want to win every trophy. I'm banging to this game tomorrow evening at quarter six, like banging to it. But I understand everyone's looking towards Sunday. And I kind of went in the reverse earlier on. I was trying to pick my team for Sunday. You know what I mean? But it's still hard to do that, because then you're like, does Szoboszlai have enough minutes in him? You see, I'm more into who has enough minutes in them rather than who has too many minutes when it comes to Sunday. Because Sunday's all out adrenaline and you'll get through it and we can make changes.
You will, yeah.
So tomorrow, Kelleher in goal, Tsimikas definitely. I would go Virgil and Kwanzaa, definitely. Right?
Yeah.
And do you know what? I'm putting Bradley in at right back. So that's the back four. Midfield, I'm actually going to go Endo in the six. I'm going to go McAllister, Szoboszlai.
So really strong in midfield.
Yeah, and I'll tell you why in a second.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go with Kumas up front. I'm going to go with Gakpo has to play. He just has to play. I'm going to go, no, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go Kumas, Nunes, Elliot. And then that means then, if you want to use Elliot, if you're not going to start against City, you can use him for a bit longer in this game, back into midfield. So that would lead your substitutes as Salah can come on, Diaz can come on, Gakpo can come on, Joe Gomez can come on, and who did I not put in midfield that time? Bobby Clark or McConnell.
Bobby Clark or McConnell.
Yeah, and that means then if you bring those five on, Salah is going up front. Diaz is going up front if you want him to. Gakpo can go up front or go into midfield. Leaves you loads of options there. Mm-hmm. And then McConnell, Clark, both can go into midfield. And that means that if you bring Gomez on, you have the option at right back, or you have him going into centre-half and moving somewhere. You see, I feel like we're a sub-short.
It's really tricky, isn't it?
I feel like we're a sub-short. Like Andy Coffin says, fuck me, Gav, too risky. You're going to have them on the pitch at some stage.
Yeah. Unless you're starting or finishing.
Unless you're going to go out and say to yourself, right, I'm going to put out all these young players and bring on... Five mightn't be enough to bring on to A, get minutes into them, or B, bring enough quality on that are fit, you know, absolutely match ready. It's, I just think it's so fucking hard. But like everyone's saying it there, it's really, really hard. Kilmas and Gordon should start in the front three, says Kevin Ball. I think you're underestimating Sparta Prague a little bit by doing that. You see, I'm trying to find the balance here between strong with options off the bench for differing reasons, but using some of the young lads. Do you get me? Yeah. Now, that's not to say Bobby Clark won't start tomorrow. McConnell won't start tomorrow. Kumas wouldn't start tomorrow. I can't see Kay Gordon. I cannot see Kay Gordon starting again. That's just me. No. Philip says, I would have liked to see Dan's get a start in the Europa League if he travelled, but he hasn't. Is that because he wasn't named in the Europa League squad before the draw for this round? No. It's something that I've read today, and I've read it in the chat again here, something about concussion protocol. So it could have been something after the game Saturday, training on Monday. You don't know. Salah needs a run out for sure, says Saskopoy, and I think Szoboszlai and Darwin start tomorrow. We're annoyed to start Sunday. That's where I am in it.
I think you have to look at it. I mean, I understand that you have to look at it with Sunday in mind, but you have to have confidence in them going in against Man City. I didn't watch the City game tonight, so I don't know what happened. But I'm assuming they went through tonight in cruise
control. Yeah, they were winning 3-1 the last time I checked.
Yeah, so it was no bother to them. The fact they'll have an extra day's rest going into the game on Sunday. It's an easy game to get up for. And like you said, adrenaline will carry you through a lot. Mm. The nice thing would be tomorrow night. Get a positive result tomorrow night to bring back to Anfield. I mean, two-legged European football, it's a process. You're going through the process. You don't want to leave yourself with too much to do. Yeah. The last thing you want to give a side who are comfortable at playing five at the back is a goal or a two-goal advantage to come to Anfield and look to have the night of their lives and make themselves heroes forever and a day just by holding on for 90 minutes. Yeah. So you still have a job to do. You know, as much as people might look at Sparta Prague as a walkover, it's a confident team. The atmosphere will be unreal. And they're used to winning. Mm. They're used to dominating the ball. They're used to playing how they play. They're used to scoring goals. They don't concede many. And they'll have a way of how they want to play. They like to play out from the back a bit as well, which is ideal for us. But you still want to go and do a job there. You know, and the fact that we've had a five-day break since the Forest game, Saturday afternoon to tomorrow night, the players will want to play as well. You know, it's not like they've been, a lot of them anyway, a lot of them haven't been flogged a bit to death. I think Klopp has managed the ones he can manage, especially at the back, as best as he possibly can, yeah, because that's about the only area of the pitch where he's been able to rotate.
Yeah, the back is the least of the worries, really. You know, I think all you're dealing with the change at the back is just to make doubly sure nothing happens Van Dijk or Kanate, and you don't put too much on them, like in a full 90, 3 days before City. Just a couple of things. Kieran B says, Bernardo Silva, Foden, Walker, etc., all rested, Haaland taken off early for City tonight. Yeah, well, that's their prerogative, you know what I mean? But Sunday's going to be an absolute fucking belter. CJ said, you wanted to protect Van Dijk, Bradley, Endo, Szoboszlai, McAllister. Are you happy for Nunes to play 90? No, you see, that's why I feel like we're probably one short. And the fact that, you know, I've said Van Dijk will come off. I've said Bradley will probably come off. I just said Endo and Szoboszlai will probably come off. And then if you do McAllister, that's where you'll probably feel like you're one short with regards to subs. But the only thing I will say is there's loads of versatility there where you can kind of move it forward in the midfield. And maybe that's where Elliot comes into the whole thing. Start him up front, move him into midfield, get a forward on, you know. There's other players there that are kind of versatile and you can move them around. Gakpo, that's why I think Gakpo's kind of key, because Gakpo can go and start up front, go into midfield, start midfield and end up front. But you don't want to go into this game
as well.
You know what I mean? CJ said, he comes back and says, six players need to play the full 90. For me, that should be Keller, Tsimikas, Kwanzaa, Clark, Gakpo, and maybe Elliot. Yeah, I think that's fair. It's just hard when you're if we had the squad and you're like, there's five players here that are just coming back and we need to get them minutes, you'd be like, Grant, they're the five subs. Here's the team. Here's the five subs. And we're going to bring them all on between 60 and 70 minutes. And that's absolutely fine. But the mix of played a lot, fucking haven't played a lot since coming back and are only coming back, that mix means,
they're all in different stages of their recovery. You know, it's like Szoboszlai and Darwin have probably been back for a week now.
Yeah.
You know, they've had a few minutes against Forest. Moa's at best been out training on grass this week. But, you know, he's not normally super fit, but he's still got to test himself. He's still got to test that hamstring to make sure he's okay on it.
Yeah.
We've already seen what happened when we brought him back early last time, and it backfired massively.
Yeah.
So there'll be absolutely no risk taken with him, even to the stage where if they don't feel that he's right, they might not gamble with him on Sunday.
Yeah.
They might just bring him and then say, look, do the warm-ups, do the post-match warm down and what have you. You're traveling with the lads. You're a senior player in the club. You might not play, but you're being around everything and you're involved to it as much as an extent as you can do. But at the same time, I don't expect to see Mo Salah play 90 minutes on Sunday.
No.
On the strength of a week's training.
No, either the way. I think there's more chance of Salah starting on Sunday than coming off the bench, but I'd see Mo Salah probably doing an hour Sunday, and then that's his lot. It's just so hard. Like, Ashley says, we don't want to leave ourselves with a mountain to climb later. I know our minds are on sea, but I don't want too much pressure going into the second leg because we have got Man United 3 days later in the FA Cup, which is fair. Kev, we could go around the bleeding houses, the amount of teams that have been picked there, they all kind of differ. And I think, the funny thing is they all differ, but I think everyone's kind of thinking the same. It's just finding that
we're all coming from the same perspective. Yeah,
exactly. And I think it's kind of like, right, who starts? Who do you get off? Who do you get on? Who do you move around? But overall, Kev, I keep going back to what Klopp says, and he says, look, when I put a player on the pitch, they know what they have to do. They know what their job is, regardless of what position they're playing. They know what their job is. So what is the job here tomorrow, Kev? Is the job here to go out and go, listen, first things first, don't lose the game. That's the first thing. Don't lose the game. Manage minutes. Get players back. Get players back in a rhythm. That's all you're looking for. If we come out with that with no injuries tomorrow, if you told me tomorrow, no injuries and you don't lose, I'm taking it. And I don't care who fucking plays 10 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, 90. I'm absolutely fine with that. Yeah. But I'm with Ashley. I don't want to be coming away from there going, we'll turn that 2-0 around at Anfield next week. And I'm kind of going, but that knocks the confidence going into Sunday and stuff like that. So Liverpool just need to go out and force them, quieten the crowd, you know, get a tempo, quieten them down, find them out, pick them off a little bit, whatever it might be. Is that where you are in it? Or do you want to go out and go, do you know what? Because I'd love more. If you gave me a nil-all draw tomorrow night with no injuries, I'd take it.
I think the away games at Porto in the Champions League are an anomaly. They don't happen very often. Usually, knockout football in Europe tends to be, you manage the game as best you can. Stay disciplined. Make sure you keep 11 on the pitch. European referees are completely different to Premier League referees. We saw what happened in the group stage when we made wholesale changes. And, you know, we had Toulouse. We dropped Toulouse and Union Saint-Gilloise, where we didn't get the results we were looking for.
Yeah.
So, first and foremost, keep 11 on the pitch, stay healthy. Take chances, because there will be chances. They will give you chances. clean sheet is what your is what the ultimate aim is tomorrow night. Get a clean sheet and you'll go through the tie comfortably. Give them hope and anything can happen. Mm. I watched the Madrid and Leipzig game tonight. And for how good Madrid are, Leipzig were the better side by a country mile. But Madrid took the chances and Leipzig couldn't. It's going to be no different tomorrow night. They'll have a go. This is the biggest game of their lives for an awful lot of these players. They will not have had the exposure of playing against a side like Liverpool, maybe in their career. This is huge for them. So expect them to be right on it and to have a proper go. We have to match that intensity.
That's why I keep leaning towards the experience. Like if you're picking players to play 45/60, you know, like the only real concerns I have tomorrow over players is Szoboszlai, right? Yep. Szoboszlai, Salah, Nunez, Diaz. I think the rest of them are okay. I think Endo's absolutely fine. If you're telling Endo to do an hour tomorrow, I think he does it in his sleep. I think McAllister will do 45, no problem. But if he has to go a bit further, he does. And that's why I lean towards experience. And you go, do you know what? You could put this to bed in an hour. You could literally be 2-0 up here in an hour. And if you bring a couple of lads on and you win 2-1 or draw 2-1, no biggie. We've achieved what we needed to achieve. And that's why I'm leaning towards. That's why I'm leaning towards the experienced side of things.
Yeah, that's what I say. I wouldn't mind Bobby Clark playing because I think he's done nothing wrong when he's playing.
Yeah.
Luis Cumas did fine when he was again when he played. Took his chance well when it came. But at the end of the day, we're going to want to score goals as well. And it would be a big ask for him to come in and start a knockout game in Europe. It just would. It's different type of football to anything he's ever faced. He'll have some idea of the Premier League players that he's playing against. When you're asking guys to go and play in Europe, it's a different ball game completely. And we'll probably spend about the first 10 minutes trying to figure them out. You know, it's all well and good on the tactics board and on video analysis and what have you. The ball is here, they tend to do this, and this. It's usually the case with most games we've played in this season, we've taken the first 10, 15 minutes to try to work out how a side is playing on the pitch and then grow into the game. You know, so I don't expect tomorrow night to be any different, but I prefer to see experienced players on the pitch to do that. You can make the changes with the younger players to affect the game later on if you need to. But I'm with you, like the likes of Darwin, Szoboszlai and Mo are the ones that you have to manage their minutes.
Diaz as well for me.
Diaz, yeah, I suppose, but
Diaz has played an awful lot. He runs and runs and runs.
But I think the fact that he missed the midweek game last week completely, he had a full week off last week.
Yeah, that's fair. Part of the whole management process, I suppose, with regards to. And it's not like I know we're all fixed on City, but Jurgen Klopp, and I know he always says the next game is the biggest game, and that's fair because you can only approach the next game. But I think, in fairness, I'd say Jurgen Klopp and his staff are looking, going, this is what we like to do now. This is what we like to do Sunday. This is like what we like to do next Thursday. This is like what we'd like to do against Manchester United. And when we get out to the other side of that, we're off for, well, the club game is off for 12 to 14 days. And, you know, we'll have so many going away, we'll have so many won't, and we'll walk around that and we get players, whatever it might be. But, you know, Bonkers says, start strong, go 2-0 up, change it. That's where I'm kind of leaning towards experience. Well, and there's 4 or 5 I want to protect. But I think you can protect them and put minutes into fellas at the same time coming off the bench.
I don't know if you saw it on Twitter or not tonight, but you know Dom, running podcast.
Yes, Dom, lovely fella.
Did you see the video that he put up today? He was at the petrol station in Liverpool, and just so happens across the road, across at the next pump, was Ryan Gravenberch.
Oh, very good.
He asked Ryan to do a little video for his son's football team, and he did.
Shouldn't have Dom, his phone out of a petrol pump.
Dom being Dom, asked a slight question. Apparently, Ryan Gravenberch is back training next week.
Nice.
He's back in full training next week. Nice. So that's the kind of little things that you want to hear. So if you've got some Ryan Gravenberch possibly being available for the Man United game, that allows you to look at someone else maybe tomorrow night and next Thursday night, that you might have Ryan Gravenberch on the bench next Thursday night as an option. Do you know? So yeah. It's not like this group of players that's going to be in this Matchday squad tomorrow night.
But
the Matchday squad could grow again by the time we come to Manchester United game in the cup.
Look, those players are going to go. Players are going to go. Players are going to go off on international duty, and you're kind of going to be crossing your fingers, your toes, everything you can cross. that they all go off and come back, and they're absolutely fine. But with the likes of Gravenberch, Jones, Trent, am I missing anyone? Gravenberch, Jones, Trent.
Yeah, they're the big three.
They're the three.
They're the big three. I mean, Alisson is just going to be a case of
Alisson's a wait and see, right? But what I'm saying is, with them three, I'm quite happy for Liverpool if they can navigate. Like if Liverpool get through in Europe and get through in the FA Cup and don't lose against City, I'm quite happy. I don't expect them three to play. But what I'm saying is, if you can come out the back of the back of Paddy's Day against United, and you are where you are, and you're kind of going, and by the way, these three are back in the squad in 2 weeks' time for, I think it's Brighton at home in the league, isn't it? That's huge. I think it's absolutely huge. Like, and I was saying to Shani on Sunday night, you know, we have this, but there's more coming. There's more coming. So it's literally, as Klopp gathers these lads around, and I'm sure he has before the start of these set of games, because it's quite noticeable that he mentions the four games in 11 days, right? Yeah. 4 games in 11 days or whatever it was. And he was like, we thought it'd be impossible and what happened to us. I've no doubt he's gathered them and went, listen, this is another 4 games in 10 days, right?
Yeah.
But this is what we're going to do. They could nearly cut this into 3.5 games. If they do their job tomorrow night, they'll do their job next week against Sparta Prague. So that'll take care of itself. But there's no doubt he's turned around and went, listen, lads, this is our next block of four. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to approach it. This is where we're going to look for A, B, and C to play and A, B, and C to stand in at different times. And when we get the other side of that, then we are just full throttle towards the end of the season, come the wherever it is, the 30th of March or wherever we're back. And it's just, I'm just, do you know what, Kev? Like, I know it's hard for sitting here and we're going through it. I am fucking buzzing off it. Like, I'm literally, every time I stop during the day, I'm thinking, if we just do that, and we just do that, and if we can just get to this date, and I'm looking at dates, and I'm saying, if we get to them dates, and then I'm thinking to myself, if you have to beat City and Arsenal to slip up somewhere, and then they have to play each other, and then if they drew and we took advantage, you could be looking, and all the permutations in your head, but I find it so enjoyable and so exciting.
Comparing to last season, it's chalk and cheese, isn't it? It's night and day the difference. This is what, you know, where we're used to over the last few years, with last year being the anomaly. I'm just looking there at the FA Cup draw, by the way. One of Man City and Newcastle is going out.
That's a Newcastle.
Chelsea, Leicester. Yeah, Chelsea and Leicester, you never know.
Did Chelsea get another home draw?
Yeah, home to Leicester City. Wolves and Coventry. And then us and Manchester United. Yeah. So if we're not Manchester United out of the FA Cup, that's us and City are, if you're the FA, you'd want us and Man City to avoid each other like the plague.
This is a quarterfinal, is it? We're going into again.
Yeah, this is a quarterfinal. This FA Cup could open right up next weekend.
If you were to beat United,
you never know.
If you were to beat United and Newcastle were to do something against City, that opens it up.
It opens
but what's
up
the odds? What's the odds on Liverpool Chelsea final again?
I'd say it wouldn't surprise me in the least. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Because
I'd say it could be on. Yeah, I'd say it could be on.
I think you're looking at Liverpool, City, Chelsea and Wolves as your last four.
Yeah.
Wolves and Coventry, isn't it?
Wolves and Coventry. Midlands derby. That's a local derby as well. So
that's your last four. But
yeah,
I'd actually take City in the semi-final over any of them.
I may. I prefer
because
that.
I think if you beat City, I'd have a sneaky feeling on Wolves against Chelsea. And then it really opens up. But look, it's brilliant when you're talking about it. And like people are saying, like, I talk to Liverpool fans and talking to, you know, non-Liverpool fans and I'm saying to them, this. And they're kind of going, oh, you're building yourself up for a big fucking fall there. And I'm like, so what? So fucking what? If you don't build yourself up, what do you want me to do? Just stay up bleeding, you know, rest and heart rate for the rest of the season. There's no excitement in that. There's absolutely no excitement in that. But it's so exciting. I think I don't think we've accomplished anything on this show, by the way. Nothing whatsoever. We haven't even picked an 11. We can't agree on it. We don't know who's coming on. We don't know who's coming off. But I think the big thing to come out of it is, look, those players starting to come back. That's the biggest thing. Salah's back. Nunes, back at the weekend. Szoboszlai, back at the weekend. There's another one. There was definitely someone else, and I just keep forgetting them. But all of them coming back, Szoboszlai players were many amount of minutes. Nunes gets a winner. Salah's now in the squad going away. You know, and it's... and. Gravenberch is meeting fellas at petrol pumps going, listen, I'll be back next week. I just think it's so exciting. And I know I'm always saying this, the next block of these games, and I was looking to get beyond the Forest game to see where we sat. And now I'm looking to get beyond the United game, because my biggest thing about getting on beyond the United game, real, still massively in contention and true in two cups, is Man City play Arsenal when they come back from the fucking international break. And if we were to go into that, please God, four clear of City and two clear of Arsenal, right? And, you know, they draw.
I think Man City have Arsenal and then they have Villa. Yeah. And I think they're both at home for them, isn't it? But I think the way Arsenal will take the confidence from beating them at the Emirates. And Villa are set up to be the perfect side to play against Man City. Yeah, they might concede. They might concede a couple. But they'll always look to hit them on the counter, and they've got pace and quality to finish their chances. And even tonight, they conceded again. So I always said it about this City side. They look impressive when they're on the ball and they create chances and they can rattle a few goals. But I've never seen a Guardiola side that are this easy to get at. Easy is the wrong word, but they can be got at on the counter.
David says take a draw on Sunday all day. I can't go along with that.
I think Sunday is really difficult. Don't get me wrong. I think it's really difficult.
I think it's such a fucking hard game. Because look, they're cheating fucks. There's no doubt about it. I'm the first to tell you that. But the cheating fucks, the players they have, the player those cheating fucks have on the pitch are brilliant. You know. And they're not very likeable. Don't think many of the players are very likeable. But they're very, very good at what they do. But having said that, I still think if we go there and that crowd is, and I mean up for it, I mean feral from 3 o'clock in that ground, it should be feral in that ground. And like noise, wall of noise, no fucking letting up. 100 mile an hour game. Don't let them settle. Liverpool can beat this and beat this team. There's not. Listen, City are as worried about us as we are about them. Make no fucking bones about it. They don't give a fuck. They don't care how many players we have out. They don't care who's fit, who's not, who's had games in their fucking legs, minutes in their legs. They don't care. They know they're coming to Anfield at 3:30 on Sunday, right? And when they get there, it's going to be an absolute fucking nightmare from start to finish. Could he win the game? Absolutely. But they know going in there, no matter what 11 comes on that pitch for Liverpool, they are going to be going at 100 mile a fucking hour. And look, I've said it before. If we lose to City on Sunday, we'd be a point behind them. Okay? Sorry, 2 points behind them. Am I right? 2 points only?
Yeah, 2 points behind
them. 2 points behind them.
I'll tell you now.
Yeah, it will be. It'll be 2 points
behind I think them, it is.
Yeah. Would it be right? It would be, wouldn't it?
I'll tell you.
Yeah, I'm nearly sure it's 2 points behind them, right? And Arsenal win at the weekend. We'd be a point behind Arsenal. We'd fall into third place, right?
Yeah.
But they have to play each other.
Yeah.
So they draw and we win, and that's game back on again. It's going to be nip and tuck.
It's literally as you were at this stage. Yes. I mean, the only thing is, it's in...
But that's
Arsenal's favourite is their goal difference.
Yeah, but their goal difference is factored on the fact that they've not lost six past Sheffield United. Liverpool play Sheffield United on the 4th of April when all the players are back, right? They'll put 10 past them if they carry on the way they carried on the other night, right?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that there's a huge chance that we sit here after Arsenal City and we go, same as there's a point in it between the three of them. That's where it's getting to. People are kind of dismissing Arsenal, and I think that's a dangerous thing to do because for me, Arsenal feel like the ones, despite where we were at the start of the season, Arsenal feel like the ones with the least pressure on them in all this.
Yeah.
I think City are under pressure because they're defending champions. I think Liverpool are under pressure because they're Liverpool. But I think Arsenal just sitting there and letting this big Man City Liverpool thing unfold, I think takes the pressure off them a little bit. They've been really good. The only thing that's going to do Arsenal for me is, can they go and win at City? Is one. And two, will they get through the season without the injuries? Because I'm amazed at the 13 players that they seem to always have either in the 11 or starting as their first two subs.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
I think Europe is the key for Arsenal. They've got the return leg against Porto next week.
Yeah.
If they go through that...
But I think they play that and then they don't have a game for 19 days. So.
Yeah, but it's not about that. If they go through it, when they come back, you're still going to have European football, Premier League, European football, Premier League. Mm. And the pressure will mount on the squad then. At the moment, it is literally everyone's talking about Liverpool, Manchester City.
Yeah,
Arsenal are
well within their merits to be up there.
Quietly going about their business.
Yeah, 100%. Nick's, the streets are buzzing, said earlier, with a super chat, thanks to me, and he said, if you want easy money, bet on Endo getting booked against City. You won't get great odds on it. You will not get great odds on that.
No.
It's just, look, I just think it's a brilliant title race. I don't think Sunday's the be all and end all. I'm buzzing for it. I don't think it's the be all and end all, though. Like I've said before, I think if you lose more than 5 points between now and the end of the season, you don't win the title. So that's a draw and a loss are allowed. If you tell me Liverpool are going to win, what's left, 11 games. If you tell me Liverpool are going to win 9, draw 1 games, and lose 1, I take it all day long because they win the title. Simple as that. But it's just so exciting. Sorry, Cantor says, no way, Gav, Arsenal won't feel the pressure. Did you see them last season? Arteta is a manager who was always a second away from a breakdown. Do you know something? Arsenal might lose a game, but it's how they react. And I think that the only problem I see for Arsenal is, yes, Europe legs, I think the break they get is good, but the people aren't international break and stuff like that, so they'd be away playing. But I think it's how you react, and the fixtures they have doesn't leave an awful lot of leeway for reacting, if you know what I mean. What I mean by that is there's no mad easy ones thrown in there, because I know Chelsea has to play them. They have to play Spurs. They have to play City. They have to play Villa. They have to go away to United. There's loads in there that just, they could get knocked and get knocked again quite quickly. But Liverpool could do the same. This is most definitely a three-way race for the title. And I can't see any of those three being ruled out until as late as possibly the second last day of the season. That's my opinion on it.
If you're a neutral, this is the best. This could develop into the best title race we've seen in decades. If you're a neutral,
mm-hmm.
If you're in it, it will absolutely crucify us.
Fucking it will great. Be. I love it.
I know, but in the best way possible, every single decision, every single minute of, I'd say, the last 8 games is going to be. You're going to go through every emotion
mm-hmm.
as a fan. That's humanly possible.
Or I'll be a functioning alcoholic by the end of it. There's no doubt about that. It's interesting here because Bob Paddock says 93 points to win the league. And Simon says 91 points to win this league. Do you know what I think wins it? 92. I think 92 wins it. I think 92 would mean Liverpool would drop 4 points between now and the end of the season. And I don't think either them or the two sides do 92. City at the moment can do 95, and Arsenal at the moment can do 94.
Yeah,
I
can't see anyone going unbeaten between not unbeaten. I can't see anyone winning every game between now and the end of the season.
No,
I think every side will drop points.
Yeah,
how you react, how City can keep that squad. Because that squad is fairly small. How they can keep their manage their key players between now and the end of the season is key. Arsenal have to keep Saliba, Rice, Gabriel, Saka, and Odegaard fit.
Yeah,
they have to keep those five players fit.
Yeah,
and even then, it's the long, the more games that these sides have to play, the more pressure that comes on from Europe, from domestic cups, from the league itself, from the pressure of being in a title race. Arsenal are still a relatively young squad. We still have a relatively young squad.
Do you know what I want?
You know, it's all there. It's all there for anyone who wants to take it.
I want City and Arsenal in European Cup semi-final.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And in my own head the other day, I had us beating City and going four clear of them, right, with the same amount of games played. I had Arsenal slipping up, right, and leaving us 4 points clear of them. I had them two drawing the following game and us winning. Yeah, and that was putting us 6 points clear of both.
That's put 6 points, yeah.
Yeah, and nine to go. Yeah.
So many ifs, buts, and maybes in all of that.
Sam Candy says 90 does it, in my opinion. As all the top three won't get 90 points, and City and the LFC have literally to win every game to hit over 90 after our game. Yeah, we can hit 96 at the minute. We can hit 96 at the minute. But look, it's just Paul says I'm nervous about Sunday. Don't be nervous. Embrace it. Listen, you could be going into this where you're fucking, you know, 10 points. You could be in fourth. You could be 10 points behind third. You could be 10 points ahead of fifth. Nothing in the fucking game. You go, it doesn't really matter. Just watch Liverpool and City on Sunday. Yeah. If we win, great. If we lose, means fuck all. We're still 7 points clear to the fifth, and fifth aren't taking 7 more points than us. Just enjoy it.
It doesn't get better than this. They are
miles ahead of where you thought they were going to be. If you're absolutely honest with yourself, they are miles away.
100%.
Miles ahead of where you thought they would be. And me, the most optimistic in the world, I always go into the season wanting to win the title. But I said it from very early on. When Shawnee said, get me top four, and I'm fucking happy. I was, yeah, absolutely, Shawnee. That's the minimum for me. And, you know, we could have got to the end of the season where we got top four by a couple of points, but that's perfect because of the team we had and different things and the changes. But this is fucking brilliant. Like, it's absolutely brilliant. And for me,
I'm having so much fun with the domestic cups as well, with the FA Cup, with the Europa League, seeing all the young players develop. Seeing the potential that we have coming through.
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought at the start when we were watching the preseason games, I never thought for 1 second that McConnell and Clark would be key players in this part, in any block of the season. I never thought for 1 second that those two players would be instrumental into how we were going to manage through a block of games. That's fantastic. You know, that is unbelievable. Yeah. And if you're not enjoying this, I mean, yeah, it might not go our way, but so what? You know, this is all part and parcel of football.
Yeah.
You know, and there's going to be ups and downs. It's all part and parcel of it.
Yeah. And listen, come here and I tell you, I know the way a lot of this fan base works. You don't win on Sunday and it's like, oh, look, now we're missing out with chance. Even if you draw, you get loads of them. If you lose, it'll be the fucking end of the world. But at the end of the day, like, let's put it this way. Man City and Arsenal currently sit behind Liverpool, and they feel like they're banging the title race, right? Yeah. Liverpool could sit behind Arsenal and Man City come the end of this weekend by a point or 2 points, and we'd still be banging the title race. It's honestly, do you know what? It's not the games against each other that's going to decide it. I don't think the Arsenal City game decided it. I think it's when you have to go away to somewhere or a tricky home and with a European game hanging in the balance during the week. That's where it's going to be. Because and that's not me talking myself out of anything. Like, if Liverpool go and win on Sunday, I'd be like, four clear of City, two clear of Arsenal. They have to play each other. Get a draw there. You go five clear of Arsenal. You go whatever it'd be, fucking six clear of City. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, but no, regardless, let me put it to you this way. If Liverpool win one of the next two league games, one of them, choose either, right?
Yeah.
If they play Man City and then I think they play Brighton, right? If they win one of them two games, they're 100% still in the title race, 100%, because the maximum they can be behind any leader would be 2 points.
Exactly. We said it right the way back whenever we've talked about league tables and winning titles and what have you. It's the results that you get against the sides who finish from fifth down that decides where you're going to finish in the title. If you win home and away against the sides in the bottom half from, so the bottom 10 sides, that's 20 games, that's 60 points. Then from the rest of it, you're looking from the other 10, from the other nine sides, so 18 fixtures, you're looking to get 35 points.
Out of 54.
From those, yeah. But you know what I mean? It's like, it's not as difficult as what you think to get to 90 points, but you're, every point that you don't pick up against the bottom half sides, you have to make up against the sides around you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I think you're right. I think it's the sides like the Brighton game, the
Fulham away,
the Wolves,
Everton
Fulham
away.
Yeah. Those kind of horrible fixtures, they're the ones you need to go and win. Yeah. And the rest of them will take care of themselves.
Yeah. It's, look, I'll say it before I say it again. It's just enjoy it. We've a job to do tomorrow night. It's going to be quite emotional Sunday because it's Klopp versus Guardiola for the last time. And say what you want about Guardiola, I don't like him. I never have. I think he's a brilliant football coach, but I think he's just taken the easy way through his career. But it'll be emotional for them too because they've huge respect for each other, you know, and, look, that'll be interesting on Sunday as well. John, sorry, we're going to go in a minute before we do. We said we weren't doing an hour, Kev. We're here for fucking hour. but listen, the link is in the description for our fundraiser. Okay. It's ticking along slowly, right? But the link is there. It's for, fan support and fuel banks. And look, do you know what? I get annoyed that there's not more money in this every day because I go online every day and all I read about in the case of fan support and food banks is the British government, looking after their fucking friends and the upper class or the higher class or whatever you want to call them in Britain while the rest of people have to suffer and make ends meet and struggle to put food on the table. Fan support and food banks, what would you call it? Charity?
It's a joint venture
between Everton and Liverpool fans on Merseyside that they don't care if you're red or you're blue or you're a Tranmere fan or you come up from Wigan for a field, whatever it might be, or you come from St. Helens or Widnes or wherever it might be. They try to look after as many people as they possibly can by, you know, food, perishable foods, wherever it might be. They give them whatever they can. We're trying to help them out. We're trying to get them €5,000 in the next couple of months. And that'll be a massive help to them. All right. And the Lighthouse is very similar. It's a cafe situated in Dublin. There was 400 people queuing outside that cafe last week when there was snow in Dublin. 400 people. Okay. Looking for food. Looking for warmer clothes because they're on the streets. Looking all sorts of stuff, right? Someone very close to me, basically, volunteers in there every second week. And she was telling me, look, it's like they're literally trying to get warm jackets, warm hats, different things, right? So that's what we're trying to do. That's in Dublin. That's a cafe. And by giving them €5,000, we more than likely will keep that cafe open full time for a year. All right. Simple as that.
Yeah.
That's probably, well, and if not more. So the link is in the description. Donate if you can. And I always say it, and you're sick listening to it live and you're sick listening to it on the podcast or the download. If everyone that watches now and everyone that downloads picks up their phone after listening or watching live, goes on to the link, which is in the description, very easy to copy and paste into your Google or click on whatever, and you give €1, we will have this 10 grand in no time. Right. So please, please help. If you can't donate, we understand times are hard for people. But if you're going for that coffee or you're going for that pint or you're going for whatever, just think about it and go, do you know what? I'll leave it today. I'm giving that fiver. And that's all you have to do. We're not, if you've done it, we know you've done it. Fine. Walk away. Do what you have to do. But the link is there. We have the golf day. The golf day is open for sponsorship. If people want to sponsor a tee box or a long drive or a nearest the pin, that brings in a huge, if we fill all them, that quota, it will probably bring in around 2,500, which is great. So if you want to donate, talkingcop1@gmail.com. That's talkincop1 KOP1@gmail.com. If you want to say, no, I won't donate to this GoFundMe, but I'll sponsor your golf day with my business name or my family name or my kid's name or my dog's name or a message you just want to put up there to the people playing golf on the day that are doing it for charity, you can do that as well. The other link in the description is Phil's Quest 5 for 5, which is 5 Ironman style races he's doing between now and the end of the year for the Laura Lynn Hospice. Anyone that doesn't know what the Laura Lynn Hospice is, go and type in Laura Lynn Hospice. It's the only children's hospice in Dublin. It's a service that nobody ever wants to use, but a lot of people have to. And it's a brilliant, brilliant cause. So go and check that out as well. I appreciate we're losing live viewers here while I do this, but I don't really care because I like getting the message across. Okay. Yeah. And the last thing, if you want to become a member of the show, €4 a month, the join button is there. We bring you as many shows as we can. It's been a bit hit and miss over the last couple of weeks because of work commitments and different things, but we do get as many out as we can. It's usually somewhere between 10 and 20 shows again a month, and that will pick up again from next week because things are quieting down now. But €4 a month for that. And football prize's latest prize is Trent Alexander-Arnold signed, framed jersey with LED, custom LED lights and a custom made background as well. There's 27 instant prizes, including merchandise from Ian Rush, Kevin Keegan, Harvey Elliott. There was someone
basically
else.
Basically, who's who, isn't it?
Yeah, there was a load of them in there. Ian Rush, Kevin Keegan. Yeah. I did say Elliott, didn't I? There's a couple more in there, but there's 27 instant prizes as well. Yeah. The link is in the description for that as well if you want to get a ticket for that. $3.95, I think. But they're going fast. Kev, question before we go. John Halloran says, yes, lads, I need a favour. I need an excuse to get out of Mother's Day dinner to watch the match on Sunday. Ouch. So it depends, John. If you're married and you're spending Mother's Day with your wife, I don't. My wife spends the day with her mother and I go down to my mother. Or if you're doing it the way I've just said it, if you're going to your, if you happen to be going to say your mother's, right, with your family or your mother-in-law's with your family, I would go, but I would lay the bait Saturday afternoon that you're not feeling the best. Yeah. Sunday, not feeling great. I'll go. Then when you get there, you go, I don't really don't feel well. I'm just going to go up and have a lie down for an hour. Can you wake me at 5 o'clock? Right. Phone on IPTV on your phone. Gift.
John, what I would be doing, right, is you should have really been planning this Sunday lunch meal for around 1 o'clock couple of weeks ago. But if you're failing that, what you need to do is say to the mother, right, what we'll do, we'll have a bite to eat at
bring
home.
Bring your mother for the match.
Take her, make sure you're going to the pub and you're arriving in the pub at 3:30, on the way home from the restaurant, and just
bring your mat to the pub for the match.
Bring your mat to the pub.
Find the pub that does nice carvery and say, "Mat, I'm about to get you this nice present for Christmas for Mother's Day." But come on, we're going down. I'm going to bring you out for your dinner as well, right? Yeah. And if you have young kids, which are great, put them in the car and give them a packet of popcorn, whatever it is. And just wing
look, it's a packet of potatoes and a bottle of lemonade. It's what we were raised on.
Put them in there. Put them in there, and that's how you get it done. That's how you get it done. But best of luck with it. Let us know on Monday if you got away with it, John. Let us know. Anyway, we're going to run because we've gone over the hour, even though we said we were doing about 40 minutes. We've done an hour. Let me see what have we got. There's no greatest tomorrow. Phil's training for his first thing, and he didn't want to miss one of the greatest. So we've moved that to next week. I'm not sure we have any. I won't be around tomorrow morning or Friday morning because of work. But tomorrow, the lads might be doing a preview to City on Friday night, I think. I'm going to pencil that in anyway. And I'm going to try come with something tomorrow night as well, something a little bit different. If you have any show ideas, leave them in the comments after. If you're a member and you're in the Telegram group, get in the Telegram group and give us some show ideas tomorrow night is the match reaction.
We're doing a match reaction tomorrow night.
Yeah, sorry, I was thinking that would be on at 8 and we'll do something at 10. No, we have the match reaction tomorrow.
We'll do
match reaction tomorrow. We do that at 10 p.m. so everyone's safe. Friday, we'll do a preview to Man City. We're off Saturday. We're back Sunday from about 6 o'clock with the match reaction and 10 o'clock with the Sunday night show. And then from next week, everything's kind of quieting down a bit. So we will have, we're going to bring back a couple of the older member shows. So, yeah, keep an eye out for that. We'll have the full lineup coming back. So we'll have, we should have the likes of Chris Golden on. We should have Robbie on, Shawnee, Keith, Emmett, myself, Kev, Matt, Chris Brack's still up to his eyes with work. So we've left him alone, because he's off the chain busy with work, and, leave him to it. He'll be back when work stops being a prick to him, and ask him to do so much. So, yeah. Look, we'll bring all the gang back next week, and we will bring as many shows as we possibly can to you. Kev, anything else before we go?
No, can we go and play clubs now?
Yeah, let's go and play the Xbox, Kev.
Let's go play clubs.
Right. That is it. Talk to you in a bit. Over and out.
Podcast Network.